From the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Carty on WVON AM 1690.
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy new year to everybody that we hadn't talked to before. It is Saturday, January 11th, and this is America's Heroes Group. And, of course, we are proudly sponsored by attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis & Fairman, LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275, office 312-781-1977. Also, America's Heroes Group, She Serves, She Matters, partner and sponsor, National Women's Veterans United, the NWVU. They have offices at 8620 South Pulaski Road at the lower level, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. The office is 872-731-2150, website www.nwvu.org. Also, America's Heroes Group, proudly sponsored by Pearl's Place, down home cooking, southern cooking, and buffet at 3901 South Michigan, Chicago, Illinois, 877-275-5852. You'll have a great time there. And not the least, of course, America's Heroes Group, proudly sponsored by East Lake Management and Development Corporation, 2850 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60616. Office number 312-872-5500. And America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Jesse Brown, VA Works. Again, Happy New Year. January is Cervical Health Awareness and National Blood Donor Month. That's important. Please don't forget that. Again, this Saturday, January 11th. I'm the host, Cliff Kelly. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. We're pleased to have everyone here. And what we're going to do today is going to be very interesting. We have some panelists here who are going to discuss some very important things. And our first person that we have here, we have a number of folks, Chandra Johnson. Chandra is Jesse Brown Public Affairs Officer, and she's going to moderate these very brilliant people we have here today. Chandra is a U.S. Army vet with over 18 years of combined VA experience from both sides of the VA as a patient and also as a staff member. She is very passionate about assisting her fellow veterans to reveal resources offered by the VA. Chandra, how are you?
I am fine, Mr. Kelly.
I'm so happy to have you here. And we have two folks that you are going to be talking to. And the discussion is telemedicine, my healthy vet, right?
Correct. Two topics. So telemedicine and then My Healthy Vet. So we have Ms. Tambry Seals from telemedicine or telehealth. She's a telehealth clinical technician with over 12 years of experience. And we also have Mr. Levy Larocco. Actually, me and Levy worked together as My Healthy Vet coordinators when I was working at Hines VA. So Levy has been there with the program since it originated in 2004. So he has over 15 years in experience. And Levy, I think you're a nurse, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
So that's sort of unique to Jesse Brown because a lot of people in that role of My Healthy Vet are not clinical. And so Levy has one up on some of the other coordinators.
Okay. Continue with us. Where are we going with this?
I'm going to start off with Levy. Levy, okay. If you can tell us a little bit about the My Healthy Vet program.
Sure. Thank you, Shonda. The My Healthy Vet program is a web portal that's been around for over 15 years now. It's a national program that allows veterans to access their medical information. And besides accessing that medical information, they are able to refill their prescriptions online, see their VA appointments, VA lab results, and they're able to download their medical records and also see VA, their x-rays and their radiology reports and images now. So it's a very useful tool for veterans that it helps them communicate with their providers through secure messaging, and also it allows them to obtain their medical information from the convenience of their home. Mm-hmm. They can access it through their tablets, their phones. They can access it through their laptops, anywhere they have internet access, anywhere in the world, actually, and they can gain access to that medical information. So it's very, very, very useful for them. It makes it a lot easier for them to, again, communicate with their provider as well.
That's great. This is internet access you can get anywhere.
Pretty
right?
much, yeah. It's pretty much just like banking. You know, when we, you know, if you belong to a big banking institution like Chase or Bank of America, for example, you're able to access your bank account anywhere as long as you have internet access. So this is the same format, pretty much. But it's very useful because, you know, if a veteran is out of state or out of the country, for example, and something happens to them and they need their medical information, they are able to access that as long as they have internet access.
How long has this been accessible to the vets?
Well, My Healthy Vet has started 15 years ago, but it evolved over time. So, meaning each of the features that I just mentioned evolved over time. It wasn't released all at once. So every couple of years, a feature would be released. So, for example, pharmacy was released for them to refill their prescriptions or their medications. And then the next year they would release their appointments. They're able to see those. So, again, it's an evolving program. It's still evolving. There's still a lot of information that's going to be released for the veteran.
So, Levy, how would you sign up for My Healthy Vet?
Signing up is pretty easy, actually. So a veteran or a user of who wants to use My Healthy Vet would be able to do it online. Again, if they have internet access, they can do it online through www.myhealth.va.gov. They register online, and then that's the step one. They create their own account. They create their own user ID and password. And then the step two process currently is they come to a VA, their local VA, and what we call an authentication. They have to go in-person authentication where they actually have to sign a form. And then we release all the features. Once they sign the form, we release all those features that I just mentioned to them electronically. So we want to make sure it's a security measure. Sure. We want to make sure that we're releasing the information to the correct veteran. So we ask for their ID and they sign a release of information form for the VA to keep on record.
That's great. How much has this been going well? I presume it has.
It's going well. For example, at Jesse Brown VA, we service around 55,000 veterans in our outpatient clinics. Mm-hmm. We have over 55% of those veterans already registered and authenticated, and are actively using this format.
I think that's a great thing, that's helping a whole lot of vets. That's for sure. Where else do we need to go with this?
We're going to switch gears
to Tambry.
To Tambry. Mm-hmm. And actually, we were talking about this earlier. Telehealth actually encompasses My Healthy Vet. So it's the it's like the umbrella. So Tamara's going to talk a little bit about the different aspects of telehealth and everything that falls under it. It's a lot. It's mind-blowing, but Tamara.
Great.
So I'm Tamara. I am the lead telehealth clinical technician at Jesse Brown. So telehealth, we have three different modalities. There is clinical video telehealth. That's when the patient can come to one of our outpatient clinics, like we have one in Crown Point, and then they would do a live video call with the providers at Jesse Brown, the specialty providers at Jesse Brown. So right now we have like cardiology, endocrinology, and the we have a number of them. But the benefit of these appointments is that the patient can get a full exam. We have an RN on staff with the veteran at the appointment, and then there's a stethoscope, and the provider can still hear their heart and lung sound. So it's the same quality of care they will receive if they went to Jesse Brown, only they don't actually have to go all the way to Jesse Brown, which is a real chore for some of our veterans.
Sure.
Yeah.
Some folks out in some of the outer parts of Cook County, for instance, and so forth.
In Indiana.
Yeah, that's right. You sure?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they can go there for some appointments. Mm-hmm. So that's clinical video telehealth. We also have store and forward telehealth, and that is when a TCC like myself, we will take images. We do dermatology, we do teleretinal, and we have telespirometry. Right now, we're going to start reading sleep studies, actually, for Las Vegas, I believe, next month. So how it works is we have the images for, like, dermatology and teleretinal. We have the images, and we upload them to the patient's chart, and the provider, the dermatologist or the eye doctor, will read them and diagnose the veteran without having the veteran actually come in to Jesse Brown. So that's store and forward telehealth.
Wow. Now, are these appointments at their home? Are they going to a facility? How are they?
At any of the out. We have our store and forward telehealth services at all of the CBOCs. All of our TCTs.
And what is CBOC? What does that stand for?
Oh, I'm sorry. CBOC is the acronym for our outpatient clinics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we have that. And then there is VA Video Connect, which is actually my specialty. I am the VVC lead. VVC is the acronym for VA Video Connects. So that's when the veteran can use their smartphone, computer, or tablet at home or wherever they are to have like a video call. It's like a secure version of FaceTime or Skype. And they can talk to their doctors that way. Our primary care staff at Jesse Brown is currently number one in the country for VVC usage. I think, like, we're at, like, 99.4% of our primary care staff are using VA Video Connect, and the veterans love it because it's a good thing, like, if you had work but you really need to see your doctor, mm-hmm. on your lunch break, you're in your car, and you're on your phone talking to your doctor right there. And for veterans who don't have, like, the Wi-Fi or the webcam or a smartphone, the VA can actually order an iPad for the veteran. And the iPad can come with optional accessories, mm-hmm. including a stethoscope, blood pressure cuff, scale. So the provider can get a full set of vital signs for the veteran in the comfort of their own home.
That's excellent. That makes a big difference. I think that how many people do we know this? And maybe I should be asking you this, Chandra. How many of the vets are really taking advantage of these modern things?
That would be a Tamara question.
Like, yeah, sure.
So our supervisor, our facility telehealth coordinator, Martin Munoz, he just won an award because I don't have the exact number. I think you just posted on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Last year, we saw... She's going to get the number for us.
Yeah, I think it was 8,200, but let me make sure I'm right on that.
But he won a leadership award for how well our telehealth program is doing. Since we started in 2012, it was like we had like one clinic, and now we have hundreds when you include all of the VA Video Connect clinics. Mm-hmm. So last year, it was over 8,000 veterans used the telehealth modality.
Wow.
Yeah.
And 12 different specialties.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're
That's paying off big time. Yeah. So where do we go from here with that? I should mention this to our call-in number, 312-374-8130, 312-374-8130. I've been caught up with all this great information.
One question I did have.
Go ahead.
If someone wanted to sign up, how would they say, hey, I want to do VA Video Connect? What do they say? And who do they tell?
All they do is tell the provider. So right now, like I said, all of the primary care providers are using it. So all the patient has to do is let their primary care know, and they can arrange that with them. If they want to use clinical video telehealth, then the provider will put in a consult for them. And then our scheduler would contact them for scheduling. Mm-hmm. And I also do one-on-one appointments. I know sometimes veterans have a hard time with technology, and it's not just the older veterans, sometimes younger ones. So I will meet with them if they need to and help them through that. Sure. But our older veterans are doing really well with it, actually.
Good. Levi is acknowledging that by a head shake, affirmatively. I just want to say, if there's anything you need to add, please feel free to do so.
No, I think there's a lot of myth out there that our older veterans don't use the technology, and they actually do.
That's good.
Because they are older and most of them are retired, they stay home, and all they do is actually use technology, whereas our younger veterans are actually out working, so they're... Mm-hmm. Even though they know how to use the technology, they may not be using it as much versus our older ones. So
that's great to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's everybody.
But please know that there is help available. Mm-hmm. I know Levy, if you can tell them where your office is. I know with My Healthy Vet, even when I was at Hines, we will always take the time to not only sign people up, but give them a tutorial and show them where all of the hot spots were, like if they wanted to look at appointments or whatever feature they wanted on My Healthy Vet. We will take time to walk them through the site. Okay. But if, Levy, you can tell them where you're located at Jesse Brown, if someone does need help in your office hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm located actually right on the first floor of our building, so it's easy for them to. It's in room 1407. And it's easy for them to locate. I also have volunteers that are working in the primary care waiting room areas, ready to do the education and also guide veterans to getting started with My Healthy Vet. So we have a lot of resources that are available in the hospital to help them get started with it.
I think that's great. I think, and I hope nobody gets upset about this, but Jesse Brown is just a great organization. You know, obviously we have a lot of people that come in from Jesse Brown. We have a lot of folks that I talk to on the street or, you know, not on the program, obviously, but they just come up with experiences. That's what I'm talking about, you know, experiences that people have. And, of course, I've been there. You know, and it's just a great job. Great job you folks do. Chandra, what else?
Levy, do you have, like, success stories, like, with My Healthy Vet? I know I had a couple, but I think you probably should have some, so.
Oh, yeah. Again, because of the access, you know, we have a lot of veterans that download their medical records. If they have a claim that they're trying to do with the regional office for their benefits, they want to get more benefits, and sometimes they need a lot, they need documentation, medical documentation. They are able to do that through My Healthy Vet with ease, actually. So,
Well, I think that's great. Levi, Tambray, you have anything to say?
We did have a success story. One time there was a veteran who needed to get to Madison VA for a heart transplant, and his family was not able to get him there. So telehealth was able to accommodate the last-minute request. We got him seen, and the next week he had his heart.
That is really a great story.
So we are saving veterans traveling time.
My goodness, yeah, that is great. Chandra, close us out.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We would love to see you at Jesse Brown. We'd love to see you at Jesse Brown. Our doors are always open. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in My Healthy Vet or telehealth, the opportunity is there. And Levy gave you his contact information. Can you guys give contact information?
Sure. In My Healthy Vet, if you need to contact me directly, you can call 312-569-6450. Again, that's 312-569-6450.
My extension, 312-569-5533.
And that is it for
us. And you?
My contact information?
Sure.
I don't know my phone number. But okay. If you call the main number and ask for public affairs, you will get me. My name is Shonda Johnson. Thank you.
You folks are all great. And thank you so much for this great information.
Thank you for all the right. opportunity.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Veteran and host of America's Heroes Group. East Lake Management staff proudly extends our best wishes to our veterans, armed forces, and their family members during this holiday season. We honor their relentless courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans and appreciate their strength and commitment they bring to East Lake organization. East Lake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Happy holidays from East Lake.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlement. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services. And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1680 WVON. America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Chicago Regional Office Veteran Benefits Administration. Happy New Year to everybody. January is Cervical Health Awareness and National Blood Donor Month. You need to know that, of course, and hopefully participate. A lot of people participate in blood donor programs. I have done that many, many times, and I hope many of you do the same thing. I am Cliff Kelly, and as a host, our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. And we're going to talk to somebody that we just love to have on. He does gives us so much great information. He is Hughes S. Turner, U.S. Army veteran, paratrooper, and SES executive director, Chicago VBA regional office. Hughes, how are you today?
I'm fine, and happy New Year to everybody.
Good.
It's hard to believe it's 2020 already.
Isn't that something? Yeah. That's right. That's right. A lot of things. I hope good ones are going to happen.
Well, I had to do a moment of reflection because, as you know, I was part of the first combat elements that went into Afghanistan after 9/11.
Yes, and there've been some folks have been hit recently.
And you look back and realize that this is almost a generational thing now.
That's right.
Where folks who are currently in Afghanistan were barely out of diapers when I was there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And unfortunately, you brought it up, and I'm glad you did. How many people were injured reporting today? Do you know?
No, I've not kept up with that information.
Yeah, yeah, there were some.
But, yeah, it's again, it just reminds you that every day we have young folks who are in harm's way.
That's right. That's right. And they need our support.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah. So one of the things, when we're talking about support, Hughes, and you always bring us information, of course, but this is an unfortunate situation where we have to discuss. Has to do with homeless people.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, the reason why I thought this would be a timely topic is that annually, nationally, there is what is called a point-in-time count, which is done on one night in the month of January across the country to kind of give us an idea of the number of homeless people we have in this country. We have one coming up, and Chicago's participating in it, and that is on Thursday night, the 23rd of January, from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., and it's a citywide event. This will be my third event that I've participated with.
This is annual?
This is annual, and the point-in-time homeless count provides the Chicago Department of Family and Support Services and the Chicago Continuum of Care and its partners with a snapshot of Chicago's homeless population.
And just and what's the, what are the times on that again?
That is on the 23rd of January,
right.
9 p.m. to 3 a.m. And there is a website for those who are interested in volunteering that can give it the at the end so people can go to that website and get more information. Just kind of put things in perspective.
Sure.
Chicago is one of several cities. And the other cities that routinely do this, Boston, Washington, D.C., San Diego, Philadelphia, New Orleans. And we all do it the same night. And typically in Chicago, that particular day is one of the coldest nights of the year. Mm. Last year, as I recall, the actual air temperature was minus 22.
Wow.
You know, and so we get a number of volunteers, and we get a good turnout of volunteers to go out and help in this event to canvass and get information and data that we provide government entities, which is helpful. But just to put things in perspective, Chicago's population, I think it's about 2.7 million, as I recall. Of that number, we have 80,000 who are homeless in Chicago. And of that population, a little over 10%, so you can say roughly between 8,000 and 9,000 of that population are veterans.
Give those numbers again.
80,000 mm-hmm. Homeless. In Chicago.
80,000 homeless. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of that, roughly 10.2% of that population are veterans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's one of those things that, you know, we take a lot of things for granted. You know, when you realize that you have an apartment to go to, mm-hmm. you have a place to take a warm shower, you have a warm bed, you have food. And then you run into people who are on the streets, sleeping on sidewalks, under viaducts, who don't have any of that. Interesting enough, my experience has been, and I've been all over the city, mm-hmm. is that fortunately, we've not run into many veterans who are homeless. Most of them seem to have found shelter or otherwise been taken care of. But what I did find interesting is that those who may be homeless that we discover don't have a strong desire to go to a shelter.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
What I find interesting is that a lot of the locations where you find homeless personnel are like many cities. Tent cities under viaducts. I mean, you can go up toward Lincoln Park mm-hmm. in that area. And they're really like little communities. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't walk into one of those areas and put up a tent. You have to be accepted mm-hmm. by that population that's already staked out their claim, if you will, for that.
That's true.
And the people.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the people that we do interview. You know, a lot of them have been pretty, you know, willing to engage with us in conversation, and we take data. How long have you been homeless? Mm-hmm. How many are in your party? Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I have not run into a lot of homeless families, but they're pretty straightforward with the information, and from their perspective, they have everything that they need. Some of them, I was surprised, actually had jobs. You know, they had a place to go to.
Wow.
To work. Now, I suspect those were probably low wage jobs.
Mm, oh,
know,
sure. Yeah.
But nonetheless, they said, yeah, you know, I go to work, you know, and then I come back here, and you know, they like the community of friends that they've developed in those communities. There are a lot of interesting things that I found. And I don't know why folks decide. Hey, listen, I prefer not to go to a shelter. I think sometimes people feel it's too restrictive, too many mm-hmm. rules. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't do this if I go there.
Some things come up missing.
Yeah,
I heard that.
Yeah, yeah. And so they prefer.
Mm-hmm. And the people they band with, right?
Yeah.
It's just like being a unit in the service.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We got some problems, but we're together.
Yeah.
Know, yeah.
And so, you know, they manage. But what it does do for those people who aren't homeless, folks like myself who mm-hmm. participate in these mm-hmm. events, you know, you gain a greater appreciation mm-hmm. for what you have.
Sure.
And the circumstances that you're in.
Now, when you talk to these people, Hughes, what kind of responses do you get? What do you ask them?
We don't necessarily take their names, mm-hmm. but we ask, you know, how many are in their party?
Mm-hmm.
How long have they been?
Do you mention the military?
We ask that question. Have any of you been in the military? Mm-hmm. Any of you veterans? And that allows us, number one, to broach the topic of services that are available to veterans.
Exactly.
And in some cases, we managed to get the necessary information to see if they're eligible for certain benefits. And that's been very helpful.
That's interesting that you say that, which is why I asked the question. Those who say they are veterans, they've been in the military, Hughes, I'm sure most of these veterans know that there are things that are available Do they tell you why they haven't tried to take advantage of them?
I think a lot of – well, I think there are probably two major categories.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks who, just aren't interested. You know, they kind of like being by themselves and don't feel the need, which I find surprising because some of them may have access to health care.
Sure.
That would benefit them.
But are they, as well. PTSD or something?
I think that's a hard – you know, that's a clinical diagnosis. It requires
right.
a doctor to mm-hmm. make those determinations.
Sure.
It'd be easy for me to say that I think they may have some issues.
Mm-hmm. We don't know what.
But you know, I'm not an expert in that field. But what I do find, and this is just an observation on my mm-hmm. part, is that I would say that for those veterans that I may run into or we may run into out there,
mm-hmm.
That they do have mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the challenge of getting them to a shelter because
gotcha.
Of that.
Gotcha.
You know, not because people wouldn't accept them, is that, you know, that's just a hard nut to crack to mm-hmm. convince somebody mm-hmm. to voluntarily
mm-hmm.
Come to a shelter and seek help and services there.
So although they may recognize you that the help is there, they just don't want to be subjected to it.
That's what I
look
find.
At that, yeah.
That's what I find. Now, what's heartwarming about this event, it's an annual event,
mm-hmm.
are the number of volunteers.
It's great.
Who come. I mean, several hundred. And there are locations around the city where they gather. They go out in groups to different parts of the city to canvass the homeless population and get the data in.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll find doctors, medical residents, interns,
great.
From some of our area hospitals, college students, graduate students from University of Chicago, from University of Illinois Chicago, from Northwestern. You find folks who work everyday jobs,
mm-hmm.
like myself, who mm-hmm. volunteer to do this,
which is great.
And it's heartwarming.
Yeah,
to see
have
that.
Those many people.
Yeah, and that this is heartfelt.
Yeah.
On their part.
Again, this is the 23rd.
That's correct.
23rd of January from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., right?
Yep, that's correct.
Great. Tell us, how could people volunteer? And before he tells us, our call-in number is 312-374-8130. Yeah, go right ahead, Hughes.
Yeah, it's typical URL.
Oh, sure, out here. Certainly.
www.chicago.gov, that's G-O-V,
mm-hmm.
/city/EN as in November,
mm-hmm.
/D as in Delta, E as in Echo, P as in Papa, T as in Tango, S as in Sierra,
mm-hmm.
/F as in Foxtrot, S as in Sierra, S as in Sierra, .html. So I know it's it's a lengthy URL, but there's a short webinar on the topic about volunteering and a host of other information available to the general public for those who are interested in going out for that night.
Well, evidently, it's been working, as you said, from before.
Yes.
There have been large numbers of volunteers.
Yes,
which is a great thing.
And in particular, young people. That's mm-hmm. what gets me excited.
Yeah.
And the number of college students, the sophomores and juniors in college,
mm-hmm.
Young people who mm-hmm. want to make a difference and who take this very, very seriously, who step forward.
I think that's great. We're talking America's Heroes Group, a roundtable, of course. We're talking about young people, or people, not just young people, obviously, who are homeless. And we have used this Turner with us, U.S. Army veteran, paratrooper, and SES executive director at Chicago VBA Regional Office. We're always pleased to have him. As usual, he brings us some good information. This is something, point in time.
Yep.
Count of homeless people in Chicago, which is extremely interesting.
Yeah, and the other thing, they don't just do this because of, they want to help people. There's data that is gathered, okay, and the data that's gathered serves as a basis for federal funding. Mm-hmm. Informs service and resource planning. And undoubtedly raises public awareness about homelessness. But we do ask the question. You asked us what questions we ask. A lot of that's data related, but that's important because it feeds into the federal funding piece and service and resource planning.
That's great. Yeah, that does make a difference. Yeah. Where do we stand? You mentioned Boston, D.C., Philadelphia, New Orleans. Where do we stand?
In terms of the number of homelessness,
yes.
I don't know, but this is what my intuition would tell me, that people tend to gravitate toward warmer cities. So San Diego has and L.A. have sizable homeless populations. Mm-hmm. New Orleans.
Yes, I was thinking of that.
Yeah, vice Boston or Chicago or Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yeah.
Not that they don't have a homeless population. But you'll find large numbers.
Oh, sure.
In those cities.
I could do well in New Orleans. I know.
Yeah. Along Canal Street and some of those other areas. Because you do see them, unfortunately. I think that's the most startling thing. For folks who've not ventured out after the bewitching hour at night, to actually see people laid out on sidewalks. On a piece of cardboard with a blanket over them, sleeping like they were sleeping in a bed, right in the middle of the sidewalk, and people stepping over them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so what happens after this year? You talk to these people, and if they do not want to be housed or whatever, what normally happens?
Well, normally, we thank them for the service. The other thing is we do have goodie bags, quote unquote, with blankets, flashlight, socks, those type of items, personal hygiene items that we provide them. They're most grateful for that, and so we're able to provide them those items. The other thing is we thank them for participating in our survey because that's helpful for us.
That's good. And this, again, I want to make sure everybody knows, Hughes, that it's the 23rd, right?
That's correct.
23rd of January, and it's from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m.
It's a long, cold night.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. Sure, hopefully it won't be too bad. Yeah. But again, before we end, I want you to give a way that people can participate.
Okay.
Yeah, now, in the how many times has this happened in the past?
Well, I'm sure it's occurred before I got here. I'm completing my third year. I've just completed my third year in Chicago. It's hard to believe.
Sure.
And I've participated in three of them.
Okay.
So every year that I've been here, they've had this event.
That's great.
And I know it existed before before I got here.
Is the city involved in it at all?
Yes. Good. Yes, the city is involved. Yeah. Yes, the city is involved. The federal government's involved with HUD and the VA.
Yeah.
In fact, a person from my staff who you all are very familiar with is our homeless coordinator.
Okay.
That's Mr. Kevin Howe.
Sure. Yeah.
And he's been on your program at least twice.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And so we have a dedicated resource. We do have dedicated resources to this effort on the part of VA. Now, there are the couple of homes I do want to mention that I'm aware of that do provide housing for veterans. One's called A Safe Haven. I know they're on Roosevelt. Okay. I don't have the address. And the other is St. Leo's Residence for Veterans.
That's
now, those two stick out to me because I know they do provide shelter for veterans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there are a number of other homeless shelters that provide services to the general homeless population, mm-hmm. as well, for those who meet the eligibility and
accommodate. Both of these specifically, well, St. Leo's is for veterans, obviously. Hughes is looking out for veterans.
Yes, sir.
And a safe haven.
Yes, sir.
They are happy to have veterans. Okay, that's great. Yeah. That's good.
I think many who participate in this, especially if they've not done that before, find this event a life-changing event for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even being homeless.
On two levels, for those who are participating in this event.
Yeah.
One,
I got you.
Exposure to this problem, and number two, that they can do something about it. Yeah, you know, in their own little way.
Have there been any responses or whatever, Hughes, relative to if some folks have some sort of problem like alcoholism or something like that?
Well, they'll freely admit that, hey, I've got a drinking problem,
okay,
or I have a drug abuse problem.
That's what I was talking about, because with this situation with the pot, I was wondering, has your group discussed that at all?
We have not. This will be interesting because now it's legal. Pot is legal.
That's right.
So we may run into more folks that taking a puff. And not afraid of being busted.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Right.
Unless they're in a zone that says no smoking or something, I guess.
Yeah.
They freely admit those individuals who have substance abuse issues, they freely admit that.
And that's a good thing, particularly if they're admitting it because they're looking for help.
Yeah.
That could be the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we try to encourage them to do that. And if they need help, we have a command center that we can call back to and say, hey, listen, there's an individual, this is his or her name, and this is where they're located, and they'll send somebody out.
Great.
To
tell me about it. We have a lot of women vets. Have any stats on that?
I do not have.
Okay.
I'm sure we could probably Google that and find that out. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for me, I've not run into many. Now, that may be just by chance.
No, gotcha.
I do know of one instance in which it was either last year or the year before last that one of our volunteers ran into a homeless family.
A young
woman with two kids, two small kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I couldn't tell you whether that person was a veteran or not.
That's what I was wondering, that could be a very serious situation about that. Okay, Hughes, this is wonderful. We're closing out a very interesting situation here with Hughes S. Turner, U.S. Army veteran, paratrooper, as you know, and SES Executive Director, Chicago VBA Regional Office. I want you to repeat what is going to be happening coming up.
Sure enough. Mm-hmm. Chicago's point-in-time homeless count will be occurring in Chicago on Thursday, the 23rd of January, from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., and this is a citywide event. This point-in-time homeless count provides the Chicago Department of Family and Support Services, the Chicago Continuum of Care, and its partners with a snapshot of Chicago's homeless population. It allows us to gather data, which is a basis for federal funding, informs service and resource planning, and certainly raises public awareness about the homeless crisis around the country. Again, the numbers, a population of about 2.7 million in Chicago, 80,000 of them are homeless, and 10.2% of them are veterans. Now, would you like the website once more? The website to get more information on this is www.chicago.gov/city/dept/fss.html. And there's a lot of information out there.
Hughes, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Always.
The talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.